listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, everybody. Good evening as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance. What do you have to do? Visit geico.com for a free rate. Quote, he's Aaron Torres. I'm Marty Spanier. Great sports talk radio night. How you doing tonight, Torres? My goodness.
I am fantastic, Arnie. My Raptors are on the verge of an NBA title. I'm doing great. How are you?
Jumping on that Raptor bandwagon, are you, or what?
Well, listen, I vividly remember you coming on air the day Kawhi Leonard demanded a trade and say, well, he's going to the Lakers. It's over. I already put in my bet futures.
Wow.
And I just remember when the
Throwing me under the bus.
A little bit. I mean, I'm just stating facts. I don't know if it's throwing you under the bus, if it's facts. And I just said, look, when he ended up with the Raptors, I said, I think they have a chance to be really good. I picked them to go to the finals in the preseason, and here they are one game away from winning a championship.
All right, I'll tell you what I want to do today. First of all, you're getting married in about a month, right? When's your wedding date?
Less than a month at this point. How do you like that?
Wow.
July 5th. I will be a married man. I'll be on the newlywed.
July 5th.
Be on the newlywed game, talking about my wife's favorite appendage and her favorite pizza place.
Are you getting any second thoughts or anything like that?
It's really funny. I actually had this conversation today with a buddy.
Oh, I don't know if it's so funny. Maybe I shouldn't have asked you that.
No, because I am not. My fiance and I have been together a really long time. And it's funny because she'll ask me during the week. She'll be like, why are you not nervous? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, well, I don't think you understand how serious this is. I'm like, do you want me?
I don't
me
think to? You understand how serious this is.
And I think she's getting nervous that I'm not more nervous, which is kind of amazing. I'm like, no, I'm not going to be the runaway groom. We've been together a long time. I'm ready to make this thing official. I'm ready to throw a crazy party. And I think she's worried that I'm this excited and not nervous at all.
Well, you know, I never asked my wife to marry me. She asked me to marry her. You know that, right?
I feel like this is one of those urban legends that Arnie just
says. That's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. She'll back that up. That is true.
So she asked you to marry her. She asked you. Okay.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, she knew a good thing when she saw it.
She saw that ponytail and she said, I better grab on and hold on tight. That guy's going to take me on a wild ride over
there. Well, it wasn't quite like that. I was talking about my fraternity brother, Keg.
Okay.
And I said, you know, Keg had just gotten married and he said, you know, that they have more money problems when they were married, but when they were separate and dating, they had no money problems. So they were going to go back to separate accounts. And I turned to Beth and we were dating. I go, gosh, we're more married than them. And she goes, speaking about getting married, when are we going to get married?
Ooh.
Yeah. So I said, well, how about in 3 years? And she goes, I don't think so. How about in 1 year? So I thought she was kidding. And then next thing you know, everybody's congratulating me on getting engaged. I thought she was trying to, you know, bluff me. So I'm like, okay, let's see who bluffs each other first. And a year came around and we end up getting married. So I'm like, well, I can't bluff now. It's too late. So.
Serious question, sort of related to this. For people who don't know, you're based out of Vermont.
Yes.
You have the only electricity and internet connection there. So that's cool.
That is true.
You do this show out of your house. Does your wife hear you just? Does your wife just hear you crushing her on a weekly basis? Or
No, she can't hear. I have a soundproof studio in my house. They can't. She can't hear anything. What are you kidding me? So besides, it's 11 o'clock out here on the East Coast. But the reason I ask all this, I want to ask you a question because if somebody stood up after somebody goes, the ceremony says, speak up now. If there's anybody that says why these two should not get married, speak up now or forever hold your peace. What would you do if somebody spoke up at that point?
Well, it depends what they were saying. If they were like, Aaron, I'm in love with you, and it was a scorned former lover, I'd be like, hey, maybe we got to talk this out, girls. Let's go. Well, everyone make your case. Now, if it was another guy, I'd probably stick security on him, you know?
Okay, well, the reason I ask is because we're both getting slammed on Twitter, Facebook, every which way they can get a hold of us. Oh, I picked Golden State to win 4-0. Of course, you made a few selections that weren't quite on, so we've been just getting just crushed on Twitter. Yeah. So today I want to tell you, speak up now or forever hold your peace, because Toronto's up 3-1. I want to see how many people think Golden State's going to come back and win this, because I'm telling you now, the Warriors will win game 5, will win game 6, and will win game 7, and will win the championship. I'll be the only person in the world to say that the Warriors are coming back. So you either speak up now or forever hold your peace. I don't want to hear it on Twitter a week later going, oh, I knew that Toronto was going to win. You speak up now. So Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinking Genius 1. And like Torres is getting married, speak up now or forever hold your peace, Torres. What do you think?
You're also the guy that guaranteed a sweep courtesy of the Warriors. So I don't know.
Yes,
that
I did. Yes,
I don't know
I
if
did.
Anyone should take your word.
Yeah, but can you prove that? You have any proof on that or what?
I mean, there are literally tweets. So, yes, there are. There are. the word you use is there's no buzz, no excitement for this series.
I see. So you knew that Klay Thompson was going to go ahead and get hurt. You knew that there was Andre Iguodala was way less than 100%. You knew that Steph Curry was going to get sick. You knew all that stuff, correct?
First of all, you know, let's say a small prayer for Steph Curry. I'm glad that whatever, third world disease that he had, he has worked through his body. I was really worried for a while there for Steph Curry. I mean, I was getting updates on his bowel movements nonstop, so I'm glad that everything's okay. No, I wasn't aware, but I also thought that I also watched the rest of the playoffs, and the Raptors beat Philadelphia, who many people thought were going to win the East, beat Milwaukee, a team that was favored to win the East. By the way, a couple really big road wins in that series. And so, to me, I just looked at the scenario, and I said, yeah, I can see the scenario where they give Golden State problems. I picked Toronto before the series to win game 1. I did pick Golden State in 6, but even when the Warriors were set to have a fully healthy lineup outside of Kevin Durant, I thought the Raptors were going to win a game or two.
All right, let's back up, just putting final touches on game 4, because I know a lot of people were talking about this and thought that if Golden State didn't win that game, that it was going to be all over. They're never going to come back from 3-1. And I felt like they should have won that game. I don't know if the better team is actually leading this series.
Wow.
I can't believe that Golden State couldn't make that run. And Toronto kept pulling away and pulling away in that third quarter. I'm like, what's going on here? They can't make the run. They got to get better defensively because they're giving Toronto too many easy buckets. That was a game they should have won, but Toronto didn't have a great shooting first half.
Yeah, and like this is part of, and we'll get into later in the show, because I was one of those people that said that the Warriors are okay without Kevin Durant. They swept the Trailblazers. I said, look, I think they play better as a team without Kevin Durant. But so anyway, the reason I bring that up is because everyone last night, oh, you're an idiot, you're this, you're that. The reason the Warriors are losing this series has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. They're not playing defense, as you just alluded to.
All right, I'm going to have to fire you for that. But
well,
go ahead.
First of all, you should have been fired when you... First of all, I just feel bad because you're going to have to move out of your house because you put so much money on the Lakers to win the championship.
Yeah, but how could you say something that they're not losing this series because they don't have Kevin Durant? I don't think I heard it. Did I not hear you correctly all the way from L.A. up to Vermont or something? Did it get lost in
Kevin
translation?
Kevin Durant didn't play in the series, but Klay Thompson was fully healthy from the beginning of the series. Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala were fully healthy. Do you think the Warriors would be winning the series?
Well, if who? If Klay was 100% healthy and there was no Kevin Durant, is that what you asked?
Yeah. If Kevin Durant was out, but everybody else was healthy, do you think the Warriors would be leading the series?
It could be 2-2. Maybe it'd be even by now. Why? What is the point on that, though?
The point on that is that has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. The reason they're losing this series is because, as you said, they're not playing well on defense.
If Kevin Durant was playing, it'd probably be a 4-game sweep.
I disagree. Completely disagree.
I mean, come on now. You're
the
talking
Clippers
about the best player.
The Clippers took 2 games from them. The Clippers took 2 games from them with Kevin Durant. The Rockets took 2 games with Kevin Durant. There's 0% chance it would have been a sweep.
You know, you're one of the guys that said that the Golden State Warriors are better without Kevin Durant.
I know, I literally just said
and
that. But
everybody slapped you around for that. And everybody realized.
I'm kind of into that stuff, though. So,
That's ridiculous because you can't take the best player off the team and say that you're better. You can't even take he's the best guy in the NBA, and you're telling me that they're better? That's absolutely asinine. And you're going to tell me that they still would be losing even with Kevin Durant? This is a dynasty you're talking about here.
Yeah, and I don't. But they also swept the Trailblazers 4-0 without Kevin Durant. They also won the last two games of the Rocket series.
The Trailblazers aren't the Warriors. Stop that.
I know they're not the Warriors. They're the Trailblazers, and they got swept by the Warriors without the Warriors' best player. The Rockets, who many people believed were the second-best team in this league, lost two games without Kevin Durant, and they lost a series clincher at home. So it goes back to what I'm saying. I don't think that the Warriors are losing this series because Kevin Durant is out. By the way, the Warriors were favored before the series without knowing Kevin Durant's status, but when Klay Thompson, Kevon Looney, Andre Iguodala were all healthy. This isn't about Kevin Durant. It's about the rest of the team falling apart. It's about them not being committed to playing defense. Kevin Durant would certainly help, but Kevin Durant not being there is not why they're not winning the series.
You can reach us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One, like Eddie says. Torres said Curry was being handled gently. Handled gently by the media, and to prove it, Tim Legler made excuses for Curry, saying that he was tired going into the last game after playing 2 days before. What a hardship.
Exactly. And this is my whole thing with Steph. You and I came on after game three. I filled in for Chris Plank on Sunday, and I had to hear about, Steph is sick, Steph is ill. And it's like imagine if LeBron had an illness and by the way, Steph was great. And all I hear is, he's so sick. And then, by the way, the other thing that drives me bananas, and Eddie just hit on it, is whenever you criticize Curry, it becomes, how can you criticize? He's a great family man and he's a great, what kind of person would, what is him being a good dad and a good husband have to do with basketball? That's the part that drives me crazy about Curry. Because his wife is front and center, because his kids are front and center, it means that when you criticize him, you're criticizing his entire family. I got that more than anything. Every time I criticize Curry, he's such a good man. How can you? I don't care about him as a man. I'm talking about him as a basketball player. It drives me bananas. Thank you, Eddie, for chiming in.
Adam says, of course, Torres, that blank, blank, stinking genius wrong as usual. Millions at Jurassic Park will be bonkers when they win the championship on Monday night.
Yes, Adam, I agree. The Raptors are going to win this series. You're going to look silly when we come on air next week, because the Raptors are not winning, or the Warriors are not winning three straight games with the way their bodies are held up.
All right, Brendan brings up something. I want to read this, and we'll get to it. Tomorrow, sports headlines, how the mighty Warriors have fallen. Golden State dismantled in five. Mm. If the Warriors lose this, is the dynasty over? Is it crumbled? Or does it depend if Kevin Durant does come back and the dynasty continues? Can you have a dynasty if they don't win the championship this year? Or does it take a little bump in the road? We'll get to all that coming up next. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, good evening, everyone. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Good sports talk radio night. You can get a hold of us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Real quick, Aaron, I want to just get to Goggles Paisano's tweet. Do you know who Goggles Paisano is, by the way?
That's your guy, right? From some cartoon or something? You've told me before.
Jeez, the Flintstones!
Heard of it. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Come on now! It says, Stinkin' Genius, you made your pick for the series. That's it, you're done.
Ooh, Goggles, I like that.
You should just remain quiet and wait for the NBA Finals something to pass by. First of all, I don't think I can remain quiet. It's my job to talk, by the way. It will be over very soon. Maybe talk about some hockey or tennis to redeem yourself. Hashtag good luck.
I agree with Goggles, and Goggles, I'd like
just
you to
just remain
know,
quiet then. I should just sit here for 3 hours.
Yeah, Goggles, you can come host the show with me because, yeah, Arnie, you did make your pick. You can't just change your pick left and right.
Speak up now or forever hold your peace. I said the Golden State was going to win it, but I said they were going to win it in four games. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. That's like saying Golden State's going to win 110-90, and they win 110-95. Okay, I didn't get the exact amount of games right, but I got the team right. Because the Warriors are still winning the championship. You understand that, don't you?
If you say so, Arnie. I mean, you said they were going to win in four, so I'm just going on what you said already.
So you do think the series is over? You think Toronto wins the next game, or it's over in five, six, seven? What do you think?
I just find it hard to believe that with the way that the Raptors are playing right now, that the Warriors, and the way that the Warriors, frankly, are playing right now, like this is part of it, right? And I think this is the criticism of the Toronto fan base, is that, like, the Warriors aren't playing well right now. And to say, oh, the Warriors are going to come back and win because they're the Warriors, it's not only like...
No, because they're the best team and they're a dynasty.
Why are they the best team, though? The Raptors are beating
the worst
snot,
team, right?
The Raptors are beating the snot out of them every single night. They could have swept this series if they didn't have a complete meltdown in the third quarter of Game 2. What has shown you that the Warriors are a better team this season? I'm not talking about the last 5 years. I'm not talking about dynasties. I'm talking about right now. What have you seen that makes you believe that the Warriors are going to win the next three games?
Okay, they're not obviously right now without Kevin Durant, so that was the big problem there. What makes me think that they're going to win the next three games is Steph was tired. Now he's going to get the extra day rest.
He was tired.
Let me finish. Klay, come on now. Are you going to tell me that he wasn't hampered a little bit from that injury? Let's not be naive to that now. Come on, Aaron.
Of course he's injured, but what makes you think he's going to be better the next time they take the court?
Because 3 days rest is going to make him better. 3 days rest for Steph is going to make him better.
You think it'll make him better? I just think injuries are part of the game, and guys are banged up right now.
And okay, Brian, like, No and Ephraim Salam.
What does that mean? I wasn't.
That's all they said today. Injuries part of the game.
Well, it is part
injuries
of the game.
Injuries part of the game.
Let me ask you a serious question. If the Raptors win this playoff series, do you think that this championship for the Raptors is tainted at all because of all the injuries to the Warriors?
Ask it to me like this. If the Raptors win the championship, did the better team win the championship? The answer is no.
That's insane.
You're fired.
Arnie, pack up your bags, take a lap, and get out of here. You're done.
That corrupt, slimy, weasel, stinking genius. The Raptors have dominated all aspects of the finals.
Yes.
Offense, defense, bench play, and coaching.
Agreed.
Steve Kerr out, coach. They wouldn't lose. They would have lost even with Kevin Durant. Dynasty is over. Is the dynasty over if they lose this one or what, Aaron?
I don't think the dynasty is over because we saw them sweep the Trailblazers when they were fully healthy. And I think even if Kevin Durant leaves, Arnie, the Warriors are still going to be the favorites going into next year, right? I would think, right? I mean, we have to see how the rosters shake out, but I can't imagine any team doing enough in one offseason where if the Warriors bring back Klay Thompson, even if they lose Kevin Durant, that they won't be the favorite.
I'm not so sure. They would probably be the favorite, but there might be one or two teams right on their heels at the, you know, if they're like 2-1, there might be another team at 2-1, you know, depending on how the free agency plays out.
So if they're the favorites going into the season, by definition, the dynasty isn't over.
So even if they lose to Toronto now, because they had won the two before then, and so they'll won 3 and 4 years, now it'll be 3 and 5 years if they don't get it done.
So I actually was thinking about this. I think you have to still call it a dynasty. I mean, three championships in that short of a time frame feels dynastic to me, especially when you go to five straight finals. I would still call it a dynasty even if they don't win the championship this year.
By the way, let me introduce you to my new co-host. His name is Mike. He just tweeted in, write this down, screenshot it, write it in stone, Warriors in 7.
Wow.
Yes.
Is that
hashtag
your burner account?
Dynasty.
Is that your burner account?
That's my burner account.
I don't think you're smart enough to run a burner account, to be perfectly honest. So.
I've not.
I'm so mean. I'm so sorry. Why do I come at you so aggressively? I'm so rude.
You turn into a different person when you come on the air with me. I don't understand this.
Wait, are you going to be in studio here soon? What's the deal with
that? Yes, I'm coming out in July.
Okay, so for my wedding, so you won't be...
No, I'm coming out after your wedding.
Oh, okay. So we're going to hang out in studio. It'll be great.
Like 2 weeks after July 4th. So not the following week, but the week after that.
That's great. Will you recognize me and not send me to go get you coffee? Is that the plan?
No, I'm still going to send you... you're still going to get me coffee, but you could remind me who you are, and then maybe I'll remember.
You're so mean. See, you're mean too. You're a jerk.
You want to get it, Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. Let me ask you this. You asked me what makes me think that the Warriors can come back and win 3 in a row. Why are you so sure that they can't when they've won 3 championships in 4 years? When you said that losing Kevin Durant doesn't make the difference in this one, what makes you think they can't come back when they've been such great champions?
Because the reason that they can't come back is because what they did in 2015, 16, 17, and 18 has nothing to do with what's going on this year. And I just think they're banged up. Whatever reason is, I don't think this is the worst team, or I don't think this is the best team of this dynasty. I don't think that the Raptors are necessarily better than some of those Cavs teams, but you just look at it and everything's lining up. As our buddy, our listener just said, I think his name was Dan, the Raptors are outplaying the Warriors in every aspect of the game. There's nothing fluky about this. They're dominating this series. And as I said a minute ago, if they didn't let the Warriors go on an 18-0 run to start the second half against them in game two, and oh, by the way, they missed about a million shots down the stretch, this could have been a sweep. I just don't see, like, people keep waiting for the Warriors to flip a switch, and I just don't see it.
If the Raptors win the championship, they'll be the worst team champions since the 1958 St. Louis Hawks.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about the Hawks? Because I know you remember them vividly.
Wow.
I know you covered them.
I wasn't alive then.
Yes, you were. Don't lie. 58?
Yeah.
You were like 26. You were swinging single.
No, but they'll be the. Maybe people say, oh, what about the Mavericks in 2011? But at least they had Dirk in the Hall of Famer. But otherwise, this champion, if they win, this Toronto Raptor team, talk about a team with no luster. And let me ask you this. You think Kawhi comes back if they win it? If they lose it and lose the other games, does he still come back? Has he made up his mind? What do you think?
I mean, if they blow a 3-1 series lead, I would guess that it would be catastrophic to the point that he doesn't come back. Now, the more interesting question is if they win this series, which I do think that they will. I've seen that the odds in Vegas are now saying that the favorites to land him this offseason are Toronto. What I'll be interested in, I wonder if he pulls the LeBron James / Kevin Durant, sign the short-term deal with flexibility so he doesn't lock in long-term. That's what would be interesting to me, is I think he'll end up back in Toronto as long as they close this thing out, but I don't know that he signs the max extension because I would think that he wants to keep that flexibility.
Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. Michael says, Stinking Genius, I was not with you until you said what was just said about the best team not winning. Also, Ephraim and the boy, who's he talking about? Brian Ho?
I guess so.
Whined and whined about injuries being part of the game. Why? Along with your gambling and Torres gambling talk is why I'm a Stinking Genius diehard fan. So that's the Michael out there.
Thank you. I'm sure he meant to include me as well when he said
that. No, he probably didn't. That's why I wanted to read that, because he probably didn't want you to.
No, he said, along with your gambling talk and Torres gambling talk, it's why I'm a diehard.
Joshua says, Stinking Genius, the Raptors get the rest to you, moron.
Yeah, Josh. I like Josh. Josh, good guy. I like him. Smart guy.
Keep them coming. Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. Coming up in a little bit, our buddy John Paul Morosi is going to stop by, reporter for Fox Sports, also MLB Network, the NHL Network. Got a lot to ask him about the Stanley Cup. First, though, let's check in with DeSager and see what's trending. What's going on, DeSager?
Good evening, gentlemen. The Houston Rockets renewed contract extension talks with head coach Mike D'Antoni, according to ESPN.
Deal.
It's not over after all with 1 year left on his deal. NBA Finals Game 5 is Monday night at Toronto. Stanley Cup Final Game 6 Sunday night. St. Louis with a chance to clinch. Sir Winston won the Belmont Stakes today. Joey Logano are in the NASCAR poll for tomorrow's 400 at Michigan on FS1. Rory McIlroy at the Canadian Open is in a 3-way tie for the lead. The Women's French Open champion is Ashley Barty. More on her in a minute. And we add on Fox and FS1 today, Women's World Cup action from France, wins for Spain, Norway, and Germany, which only beat China 1-0. Germany outshot them 17-4, but could only get the one goal in the 66th minute. Germany had 63% of the possession, but 1-0 the final. The top-ranked U.S. women open play on Tuesday on Fox TV. Well, online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. 3 ball games still going. Max Scherzer and the Nationals lead 4-3. 4-0 at San Diego, top of the fifth. In Anaheim, the Angels holding on 3-2 against the Mariners, top of the fourth. And the Rangers won the first of a doubleheader, 10-5 over Oakland. Texas is at home and trying to get the sweep right now, up 3-1 against the A's. That's top of the seventh. There was a doubleheader at Boston. Red Sox and Tampa Bay split that twin bill. Dodgers and Rich Hill, a 7-2 winner at San Francisco. Corey Seager with four hits. The Mets beat Colorado 5-3. Rookie Pete Alonso with his 21st homer. Wins for Milwaukee and the Cubs. Wins for Atlanta and Philadelphia. Back to the show in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
And Arnie, I know you of all people remember the name Ivan Goolagong.
Yeah.
Tennis champion.
The tennis champ.
From the 1970s, won the French Open in 1971, which was the first of her seven Grand Slam singles titles. She has congratulated the Australian who won the French Open this morning, our time, late night, staying up late for TV in Australia, she did. She congratulates a fellow Indigenous athlete. The exact quote was, "How exciting, another Aboriginal has won at the French." By the way, Rod Laver from Australia was there in Paris watching the match.
But
Ashley Barty will rise to number two in the world rankings, highest for an Australian woman since Ivan Goolagong, who was number one in 1976.
I haven't heard that name in a long time, that's for sure. All right, thanks a lot to Sager. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. Remember now, it's easy to save 15% or more in car insurance with Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, well, that's figuring out which way is easier. I want to get right to our guest. Joining us now, a reporter for Fox Sports, Major League Baseball Network, the NHL Network, our buddy John Paul Morosi. How you doing, JP? Thanks for stopping by.
Arnie, Aaron, good evening. Great to be on your show here tonight.
All right, let's start with the officiating in the NHL Stanley Cup. The no call on the tripping, which eventually led to the goal that put him up to nothing. First of all, has the officiating been bad throughout the playoffs, or are we just complaining about a few things?
Well, certainly it's been a big story. It has been inconsistent, and that really has been the case in a great many postseasons. But I think the magnitude of the calls and the way they have turned games and turned series, and this goes back, of course, to the first round and the Cody Eakin call on Joe Pavelski in the midst of Game 7, for which the NHL apologized. There was obviously some other key calls, some which were called correctly, but then, of course, the hand pass in the Western Conference Final,
right,
and then any number of occasions here in this Stanley Cup Final that have been controversial. To me, a couple points I want to make. Number one, the magnitude of the calls earlier in the playoffs resulted in shuffling of some of the officiating units, which on some level is unfortunate, because then you start sidelining officials who were, by any reasonable measure, among the best that you have in your group when the postseason begins. And then you start thinning out your core of officials, and you probably end up having, in some cases, suboptimal crews working the most important games of the year because of disciplinary action that you took rightly or wrongly earlier on in the playoffs. The second part is, I'm not sure that expanded replay on all goals is the way to go here. Calls have been missed in the sport for as long as it's been played. And so I'm not sure that necessarily, I realize it was a missed call on what should have been the Bozak trip on Achari, and it was egregious, and we all saw it. It was a missed call. Again, I'm not sure that expanded replay is the answer here. The final point I want to make on the overall context here is that what I hope the NHL does in the summertime here is to evaluate the crewing of the officials themselves, meaning is the second referee better served being an eye in the sky than he is on the ice. And I say that because the game is now so fast, and this is a change in the last 15 years or so since the lockout that cost in the season back in 2004-05. The game is played at such a fast pace that you're asking officials to make calls at a higher rate than ever before when the players are playing the game at a greater physicality than ever before. This does not excuse missed calls, but it does, to me, call on the NHL to make a bit more of a comprehensive look at this to say, how do we put our people in the best situation and position to make the right call the greatest percentage of the time? Calls are still going to be missed. I don't think anybody wants to see review of everything, which is going to increase the length of games and really drag it down. I don't think we want that. I think you just want to put officials in the best situation to succeed, which I think right now, given the way the game is played at this present time, I don't think that's the case.
Putting aside the officiating, we all kind of know the kind of history of the St. Louis Blues and their kind of struggles. How much would it mean to, in fact, outside of the controversy, close out this series, close it out at home? I mean, It feels like there's a lot at stake tomorrow.
Well, there is. And of course, as you mentioned, Aaron, it's, you know, the oldest franchise continually operating in the NHL to never have won the Stanley Cup. And that's a big bit of history. Of course, this is their first appearance of the Cup Final in basically a half century. It's a town that's witnessed, of course, the dearly departed Rams. They've witnessed the Super Bowl championship by them. They've witnessed multiple World Series by the Cardinals, even in the last couple decades. But they have not seen the Stanley Cup in their town. And that, to me, is a really important emotional hurdle for this city. And it's such a hard trophy to win. Your chances to do it are so few and far between unless you're a dynasty type team that's there every year. Things have lined up really in a special way for the Blues here. They of course had the worst record in the National Hockey League in the early days of the new year. I mean, this is really an unprecedented story in so many ways, and the way they've won games in the playoffs, the way they've won series, the bond that they've forged with their fans there, and of course the amazing story of Layla Anderson, who's battling a life-threatening cancer and has really just become a rallying point for the whole city and organization. Some special things have happened here for this organization. The fan base, the players themselves, you got some long-time members of the organization, Alexander Steen and Alex Petrangelo. So it's a really unique group of players, really likable group. I covered the Western Conference Final and got to spend some time around them. So it's and from talking to players there, we hear it a lot, of course, and no matter what the sport is, chemistry and how teams come together. This is a really unique group, and they really enjoy playing the game together. They've sacrificed a lot as a group, and I think it would be a really fitting way for them to win it at home tomorrow. But of course, you look at it, and the Bruins are a very professional, classy, great organization too, and they feel like they've been wronged by some of these calls here in this Cup Final. So it's going to be a big test here to see if they can force a seventh game back in Boston.
Here's what I think the difference was. The St. Louis was having a tough time scoring. Tuchel was on his rear end. He was stopping everything. And then I said on the local show here, I'm up in Vermont, we carry all the Bruin games, I go, watch and see if St. Louis isn't just going to just start to put shots on goal and try to get the rebound on Tuchel and see if they could do something that way. Just keep putting shots on goal. That's exactly what they're doing. I think the Bruins got to come back at Binnington and do the same thing, because he's standing on his head, this guy. You've got to keep shooting him. He's giving up some juicy rebounds. They just can't score.
Well, it's a very good point, and of course we saw it in Game 3 of this series. Binnington get pulled. That was an ugly night for the Blues. After all the buildup. And that, to me, is one of the challenges of winning this trophy. And it's the hardest trophy to win in sports. We know that. And the part of it is the schedule and the way that the rhythm of the Stanley Cup Final itself happens. You've got a game, a big emotional win, Game 5, day off, travel. So you got 2 days in between. The Blues have done nothing for 2 days, I'm sure, but hear how they've got a chance to clinch it at home. And that can wear on a team. All of a sudden, if Binnington, who, by the way, is still a rookie, okay, he's still a rookie,
I know.
If he gives up a goal early, all of a sudden, wait a minute, this is off script. What do we do? And then you could have a replay of game three. So it's, guys, it is such a momentum sport, a momentum series. Yes, we know, of course, the Bruins have had the injuries there with Grizzly and Chara back in the blue line during the course of this cup final. And that's real. And then that's what happened in the last round where we could have thought for all the world, you see the Sharks and all the talent they've got, but they were just beat up by the end of that series. And some of that same attrition has happened now for the Boston Bruins as well. But again, it's still a rookie goaltender. He's been a brilliant rookie goaltender, but he's a rookie goaltender nonetheless. And he was one who was pulled in Game 3 in that very same building. Now all of a sudden, the underdog has become the overdog. And that becomes a very unique balance. The one thing that I think is great to point out, though, about hockey, and I remember covering a Stanley Cup final a few years ago and talking to Ben Lovejoy, a veteran defenseman, about how he would approach this potential clinching game. And he said, in some spots, all you can do is just skate. You get your anxiety out by skating. And so I think look early on for the Blues. They'll be heavy hitting. We know that that's part of their game. They'll be skating and forechecking hard, we know that. And as long as they can keep the action going in their favor, I think they'll be fine. But if all of a sudden a goal is scored against the flow of play, then things tighten up a little bit, and you think about a Game 7 back in Boston. So I think for so many reasons, guys, it's going to be an emotional night, emotional Game 6, and Binnington has to be the best of all the St. Louis Blues for them to win that game.
He's John Paul Morosi, reporter for Fox Sports, MLB Network, NHL Network, and everything of all of the above. Hey, always a pleasure. Love having you on. You crushed it. I can't wait to talk more hockey. We'll get some baseball next time. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
You bet, guys. My pleasure. It's a fantastic time of year for sports. Even seeing Michigan giving UCLA all they can.
I'm watching that.
Baseball Super Regional. So lots of great storylines all across the great sports world. And I thank you guys for having me on the show tonight.
Thank you.
JP.
Appreciate it, JP. Thanks a lot, John Paul Morosi. Always love having him on. Get a little hockey talk. Antelope 13 says thanks for the hockey talk, even if it is just a little bit. And so we got that in. Tell you what, we'll come back. We'll catch up on some of the tweets out there. And I got a question I want to ask Torres. So all that's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. See, they automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles, limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. If you want to get a hold of us, real quick, Torres, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. First of all, you know my son is in Italy right now.
That's right. You sent him there, and you were terrified about it.
Well, he went over to Gucci, the Gucci outlets and all those big stores out there, bought himself a t-shirt for $300.
What kind of son did you raise, man?
I know. I'm embarrassed. I don't buy suits for $300.
I don't think you've spent you do your show out of your house, you get free Ben and Jerry's. That's basically how you subsist. I don't think you've spent $300 in the last 6 months.
And the crazy part is he's got people that want to buy the shirt for $800 out here.
Oh, I go, are you I like
nuts?
That.
I go, no, you already wore it, though. I go, what kind of knucklehead are you? But here's the question I wanted to ask you. He's going to Paris,
been to Paris
next week. Would you recommend that he would go to the Women's World Cup and go see a game or just go see the sights? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you this. Fun fact about me, I'm going to the U.S. Open next week at Pebble Beach.
Wow.
I'm going on Friday. Yeah, I scored some tickets. So the reason I bring it up is because if you can experience sports, and I don't know if he's a soccer fan or not, but go live it up. I mean, it's once in a lifetime. The World Cup is there. He's going to be there. I don't know how long he's there for, but I would say go for it. Go have fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's plenty of sights to see also, though. You don't have to go to the Women's World Cup, but there is plenty.
And I was going to say, since you're a big swinger at Fox, you can get them free tickets, I'm sure, right?
Oh, I'm sure, I guess. And, of course, a fan favorite here is Jason tweets him, Torres, Shapiro needs to ban that cancer-stinking genius from the Fox Sports airwaves like the NBA did to one of the Warriors' co-owners.
I like it. By the way,
yes.
I got an interesting direct message during our break. It's from one Bernie Fratto, who will
hear
from
later. Saw that, yes.
He says that Golden State has already opened as the 2020 NBA champion favorites, which proves my point.
I'm wondering, though, if they're counting that Durant is coming back and that will change, or if they think he's leaving and it will change, or it doesn't make any difference whatsoever.
I don't think so, because they're only plus 175. Like, if they were...
But wait. Actually, plus 175 is a pretty hefty favorite when it comes to winning a championship for the following year.
Don't you think they would be like minus...
That's less than 2-1.
Don't you think they'd be like minus 600, though?
No. Don't be crazy. You're talking in a series, it would be like minus 600 or 700. Not to win a championship for the following year. No, not at all. Then you wouldn't get no money on that then.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think you should get money if they're bringing back Kevin Durant. You know what I'm saying?
6-1 minus 600. No, that's way off. So plus what, 175 is what Bernie said?
Plus 175, yes.
Okay, so, you know, they're thinking Kevin Durant's going to come back. Kevin Durant doesn't come back, that will go up a little bit, I would think.
So I'm looking, last year they were minus 165 at this time as the 2019 favorite.
All right, I'll tell you what, hour one in the books. Let's everybody take our breath, catch your breath. We'll come back. We'll get to all the tweets. We'll reset these series. Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Is Golden State going to come back and win this series, or is it over? Is the dynasty over? Is it about to crumble? Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. This is Fox Sports Radio. All right, everybody. Good evening as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Get a hold of us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. Torres getting married in less than a month from now.
I sure am.
Tell everybody where the honeymoon's going to be.
It is going to be in fabulous Micronesia. No, Hawaii.
That's where I want a trip on the newlywed game.
Hawaii. We're going to Hawaii. Anyone who has any suggestions, you're more than welcome to chime in.
Now, you're just going to Hawaii or any of the other islands or what?
Okay, so this is part of my responsibilities that I just haven't taken part in yet. Booked the flight to, I think, Kauai, maybe not Leonard, the island, and because the reason was we had 4 days at a hotel thanks to my uncle. Shout out to Uncle Matt.
Good way to go, Uncle Matt.
Big impressive week for Uncle Matt, setting us up with that. So we have the flights there and we have the hotel for the first 4 days, and we don't have anything after that. So we got to figure out what island we're... Here's my thing. It feels really confusing to go from island to island, and then I got to book hotels there.
Right.
I probably just need a travel agent, but I'm too lazy to just go get one. So
yeah, just if any of the listeners have any suggestions, you know, a lot of people go to Maui.
Please.
That's, of course, the most visited island out there. So I don't know if he'd be where. I haven't been in so long. I couldn't even tell you.
Big time. Oh, I've been to so many places, I can't
even. Wow.
You're big time. When's the last time you took a vacation, like a legitimate vacation, Arnie? And don't tell me, I went to my sister's house for Thanksgiving. Yeah, that doesn't count.
I guess probably Hawaii when I went with my wife, because we never took the trip to Micronesia when we went on the newlywed game. So I said, I'll just take you to Hawaii.
So you haven't been on a vacation since then?
I can't remember. I mean, you see, but you have to understand, my son plays hockey.
Sure.
So every time we go from Los Angeles or Phoenix to like St. Louis or wherever, Texas, that was our vacations. Just going around playing hockey is pretty much where we vacationed.
Did you ever like stay an extra day to like see the sights or anything? Please tell me.
St. Louis or something like that?
Well, I know there's one site in St. Louis. It's the Arch. But I just, you know, it's kind of sad. You know, I haven't gone on vacation.
It's
sad because you deserve it. You work hard.
I know. Well, you know, we always had fun watching my son play. So we always considered that the type of vacation.
What does your wife do for work, if you don't mind me asking? Does she work?
Barely nothing is what
well,
she does.
Well, I mean, it runs in the family. It's at least that's consistent. So I see
you.
You guys are two peas in a pod.
You want to get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. By the way, are you working next week or are you taking next week off?
Why would I take next week off?
Because you said you were going to the U.S. Open.
No, I'm going Friday, and I'm coming back Saturday. Well,
what?
I don't even know. Yeah, that's just a one-day deal. It's just a one-day deal.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Just for one day?
Yeah, I don't need to go for 4 days. I just want to, you know, I just want to say I've been there, say I've done it, you know?
Kind of like a bucket list.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a bucket list, you know?
I would love to go to a Game 7 of the NHL Stanley Cup if it's in Boston. I would think about doing that.
You should go. You should go. But,
just make the drive down there.
Well, I was telling Bersh before the show, our
producer.
Yeah, Bershinger, who you call Buckmeister.
I've never talked to him anyway.
It's been like 6 months. You haven't learned his name, but that's okay. But no, I'm debating.
Don't even know who he is.
It's okay. Most of America doesn't know who you are, so it's fine. Yeah. So, no, but we, so the tickets are for Friday, and so I'm going with a buddy, and we're debating, do we, because, you know, tea time is about 7 a.m., 6 a.m., and it's about 5 hours from L.A., which I didn't realize. So we're debating, do we just wake up in the middle of the night and make the drive and make the drive back? Do we go on Thursday night and find a hotel? It's going to be a good guys road trip, though. Get up there, watch some golf.
Do the Airbnb or something like that. You know,
that's actually a great idea. I hadn't even thought of Airbnb. You're so smart. Yeah. You're so contemporary.
Yes,
wow.
Exactly.
Do you even know what Airbnb is, really?
Of course I do. Stop it. Not that old. I mean, I have it on my floppy disk. Oh. All right, we got a lot to get to. Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. Speak up now or forever hold your peace. The one thing I want to ask you, has this been a good played NBA championship? Have you been excited? Are you looking forward to Game 5? Have you liked the play? Has this been everything and more that you imagined? Or has it been a little bit of a letdown compared to championships of the past?
Well, I think it's been a good series. I mean, look, there are wow, you're so rude. You just
go ahead.
You know, you don't even let me finish my
sentence.
That's
the buzzer from the newlywed game, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, well, you should know you got every question wrong, so I'm not surprised. No, I mean, like, yeah, there's been stretches where it hasn't been the best basketball, but I think there were plenty of stretches. I mean, keep in mind, last year after the Cavaliers, you know, they didn't have Kyrie Irving at that point. Basically, every game was a blowout. So, I mean, it's not as though and by the way, the year before, the Warriors won in five. So, it's not as though we've had these incredible series over the last couple years. I mean, 2016, when it went to seven and the Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit,
right.
That was great. But it's not as though these finals have been incredible over these last couple years.
John Oran, you sent this to me. He put this out on Twitter, talking about the viewers, the ratings. 13.4 in the U.S., 4.3 in Canada, which I still think is not that great. It's down 6%. Matter of fact, this NBA championship is the lowest rated championship in over a decade. Reason for that was we're including the Canadian ratings. So it seems like there's just not a lot of interest overall in this championship, Torres.
There's certainly less interest in America, and that's because the Raptors kind of aren't a brand name type team, and because LeBron's not in it. And so, I mean, there's as many viewers in North America, but it doesn't matter to ESPN because ESPN doesn't get credit for what happens in Canada. So
yeah, but that's including the Canadian rankings too. They only get like the 4 million we're watching there or something.
But that's 1 out of 10 people in the country, so that's still pretty good. By the way, can I just completely change gears for a second? I just want to give a quick shout out. Some kid from Vanderbilt tonight in the College World Series playoffs, no hitter, 19 strikeouts, Arnie.
Wow.
His name's Kumar Rocker. I would be lying if I said I knew much about college baseball, but a 19 strikeout no hitter in the college playoffs. That's insane.
Didn't see
strikeouts.
That one.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one. Good good call. Did you watch the game or you just happened to pick it up?
Well, a bunch of people just tweeted about it, including our buddy Clay Travis, so that was kind of what tipped me off to it. But
right.
It's
Aaron
not often you see a 19 strikeout no-hitter. So
Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinking Genius One. You think that this series is over. Toronto up 3-1, and that they'll pretty much wrap it up at home in the next game and put Golden State out of their misery. You see no way that the Warriors are coming back to win this championship.
Well, I don't think it's likely. Here's my thing, though. I do think that if the Warriors can win game five, on the road, then it kind of sets up a lot like the Cavs a few years ago. Then all of a sudden, the Warriors get game six at home. Then the pressure would be on the Raptors. So game five is obviously, if they can steal that one, it gets interesting. But I guess what I would say is we have a four-game sample size where the Raptors have been a better team in every way, shape, and form. I just can't see the Warriors ripping off three straight wins.
Actually, we haven't had a four-game sample size, so let's back on up.
What do you mean?
Game two, you had a brand-new Boogie Cousins who certainly wasn't even close to even being 50%. Game three, you didn't have a Klay Thompson. In game four, he was just coming back, and you saw how beat up Steph Curry was. So that's not necessarily true. You can't tell me you've had a four-game sampling size. Now, I think the three-day rest plays more into Golden State and helps them more than Toronto, because now Klay can heal from his injury, and certainly Steph needed the rest. Boogie can take every hour. He needs every hour to rest, so the 3 days is going to help him also. I certainly expect a much better Golden State team.
I don't think these are injuries that you just recover from in 3 days. I mean, Kevon Looney's got like a separated shoulder.
Klay recovered enough to go ahead and get back out there.
Klay was awesome last night, but I still think, you know, he's not at 100%. He was shooting really well, but defensively he's not the same player. Boogie's clearly not the same player. As you've said from the beginning, and I will give you credit on this, you've said, I'll believe that Kevin Durant's coming back when I see it. So, like, I just don't think these are injuries that you're just magically better after 3 days as opposed to two, if that makes sense.
Well, the injury was a lot worse, I guess. Though I don't think it was like a, you know, the Achilles like everybody's making it out to be. That's why he's been out for the month or so. I think he had a severe injury, but there wasn't any like tear or anything like that, I believe.
Yeah, by the way, we just got an interesting comment from Ozzy. He said, okay, here's one. Been thinking about this. LBJ, LeBron James, might be kicking himself for not staying in Cleveland. I know that I would be no KD, hurt Klay. Hardest thing to do would have been to beat the Raptors. LeBron would get ring number four if he had just stayed in Cleveland. What do you think about that? I think it's kind of an interesting theory.
That wasn't a great situation also. You know, he had done what he wanted to get done for Cleveland. He had brought back a championship. It wasn't like they were dominating or anything like that. And by the way, we always knew that the Eastern Conference was a lot easier. We just didn't expect LeBron to go down with the injury. If LeBron had the injury and he was in the Eastern Conference with Cleveland, what do you think would have happened to Cleveland, Torres?
If he had gotten hurt?
Yeah.
Well, they were the worst team in the league without him, so they wouldn't have been good. But then...
What's the difference there?
But the difference is all you have to do is get into the playoffs, and who knows what happens from there, right? I mean, it's different if... It's different in the West because it was just harder to get into the playoffs. But, I mean, if he's in Cleveland, if he's playing with vets, if he's playing with guys that he likes, I mean, that was part of why they struggled down the stretch. I don't think LeBron, I'll be honest, I said it and I believe it. I don't think LeBron really wanted to make the playoffs this year. And that sounds crazy, but if he made the playoffs, he knows that he's good enough to maybe win a series or two. And then at that point, you start, then if they win a series or two, the questions become, do you keep Luke Walton? Do you not trade the young guys? And I think he purposely did not want to be in the playoffs this year for that exact reason. So I think if he's in Cleveland, maybe there's a little bit more urgency.
By the way, speaking of that, you know, you're getting all the reports that were coming out today on Twitter about how a lot of the players were really hurt now. I guess it's official that they were rumors about them being traded for Anthony Davis, and, you know, they were hurt. They see LeBron as like a father figure and a father that didn't want them. Oh, toughen up, buttercup.
I totally disagree.
Really? I mean, if let me explain something to you. If a trade rumor is going to throw you off your game and you're going to be all hurt over it, then you're in the wrong field. There's so many people that get trade rumors out there, and how many actually really happen? How do you disagree on that?
If you found out that I went to management and I said, I can't work with this stinking genius, this fraud, this fake, whatever the people on Twitter call you, would you be fired up to come work with me on the next set? Why is it different?
Here's the difference, though. If you say, okay, I don't like working with me, and they wanted to put me on a different shift, which was earlier, you know, then which is what a trade would have happened. If you're going to get traded, you're going to go to another team.
What if it was the Bernie Fratto or the overnight shift, the Ben Maller shift, one night a week?
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about the overnight, that's
for
sure.
You have to toughen up, Buttercup. You know, you got to be a little bit tougher. You got to get some thicker skin. That's the business. Come on, let's go, Buttercup.
Why, you think that's the same thing, though? Because
I do.
Well, you have, you're still playing in the NBA, and you're probably going to be in a better situation.
You're still on the radio. You're in a better situation. You got your own show.
Not overnights, though. Overnights is worse.
Toughen up, Buttercup. We can continue this after the break.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. If you want to get in, Aaron underscore Torres, I'm at Stinking Genius One. You can tell us also on Twitter. We'll continue this when we get back. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Marty Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle. Bird poop. Drone. Seen it? Covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. You see, they automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So let's say your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations do apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Get a hold of us at Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. Let me give proper credit via Bleacher Report. Rajon Rondo said, every guy on our team, LeBron was their favorite player growing up. Everyone had the shoes, his jersey, and then you get there and it's like your mom or your dad or the person that you looked up to or idolized doesn't want you. That's what Rajon Rondo said.
Love it.
And of course, that made a big a problem in the locker room. I may have had a problem on the court, off the court. Who knows how it would have affected their play. I think you got to be tougher than that. You know, we all have gone through breakups. Our girlfriends have dumped us. That doesn't mean we quit dating girls or dating. We get back up and we date somebody else.
You don't go on a date the next day. If it's a serious...
I remember one girlfriend that broke up with me. It took me 15 minutes to get over it.
Wow. So you're just a jerk then. Well, that's different. No, listen, you break up with a girl or you break up with a guy, sometimes it takes you 4, 5, 6 months to get back on your feet. I just think, and you proved my point, is that if I went to management, I said, I can't work with this guy, Archie Bunker, Arnie Spanier.
Yes.
And I said, I want him off the show. I don't care. Send him to the 2 a.m. shift. And management seriously considered it. They seriously considered it. They tried to make it happen, but you know, Ben Maller or Jonas Knox isn't willing to give up that shift. Then you got to come back and work with me. You're going to be pissed off. You are.
So what are you telling me? That gives me an excuse because you wanted to trade me or get him off the show. So that gives me an excuse to do a lousy show? Is that what you're telling me? I should not have to do a good show now because I'm mentally out of it because you didn't want me on the show. So now I don't have to try and do a good show. That's what you're telling me, right?
I don't think, first of all, I don't think those guys didn't play well. I just think it messed up the locker room, and I think it would mess up our chemistry if I went to management and said I can't work with this guy anymore.
Well, there's a little bit different because there's only two of us. But as to getting traded, though, that's part of the process. I don't know if that's part of the process in radio, but that's part of professional sports where there are trade rumors and your name is bound to get up. And by the way, I think I would be honored if another team wanted me instead of not wanting me.
No, Arnie. If we were going to send you to the freaking, Minneapolis.
Let's say Boston, to a Boston station.
No.
And Boston says, we want to inquire about getting Arnie Spanier. I'd feel honored that they wanted to pick me up.
And if those guys were getting traded to the Celtics, a well-run organization, then it might have been different. They were getting traded to the basketball wasteland of the New Orleans Pelicans. And by the way, I don't think those guys played that bad, but Rondo's point was that it wasn't the same in the locker room and that the chemistry wasn't the same because they felt scorned by LeBron. And there's a difference between management wanting you gone, or there's a difference between being in a trade rumor because that's part of the league and that's part of the situation, and your best player and his agent conspiring to go ahead and trade all of you for Anthony Davis. That's the difference. This wasn't Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, because a team can rally around, management doesn't want us, blah, blah, blah. This was a guy in their own locker room. This was a guy they share the court with that was saying, you're not good enough to play with me.
So, when Tom Brady wants a different receiver than You know, all the blame is on him. If they can't make the trade, the guy they were going to trade is like, well, you wanted to get rid of me. Now I'm not happy.
Brady ever demanded that a player be traded?
No, Tom Brady. You don't think Tom Brady has a say in some of the free agent pickups they have?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. I don't think Bill Belichick listens to anybody except Bill Belichick.
Oh, only the best quarterback in the history of the game. And
the best coach in the game. The best coach in the game doesn't listen to anybody.
Best coach of the game because he's got the best quarterback. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the best coach. What did he do in Cleveland, for crying out loud?
He made the playoffs where they haven't been back since. Well, they went back once in like 2001, but he went to the playoffs like four times in like 8 years there.
You read Chick Hearn Twitter account coming in. Is he ripping me? I can't. I can't even read that much. If you want to get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres, I'm a stinking genius one. I think you just got to be a lot tougher than that. You can't let all that outside noise affect your game. And you know what? Again, trade rumors are part of the whole professional sports atmosphere. You've just got to go to accept
it. But there's a difference between when management wants to trade you and the best player, when your teammates wants to trade you.
Do you think everybody that's involved with trade rumors from all over different teams, each one of them gets upset over that? Is that what you're telling me?
There's a difference between when management wants to trade you and a player in your own locker room wants to trade you. And that was Rondo's point. It tore apart the locker room because they all grew up idolizing LeBron. This wasn't Magic Johnson trying to make a trade. It was LeBron and Rich Paul trying to use their clout to get Anthony Davis for Anthony Davis to demand a trade. It was LeBron who orchestrated everything. There's a difference.
Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Eric says, would love to see Kyle Lowry haul off and whoop that fake tough guy poser, Stinkin' Genius, like he's a fraud courtside fan. Obviously talking about the, do we call him the part-time owner, but
not anymore.
Part owner, investor. Are we still allowed to use the word owner out there? I don't know. I don't know what to call him anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Call him owner.
Well, I don't think that's allowed.
I know. I found this ironic. Nobody talked about this. LeBron James is an owner of a professional soccer team in Europe. Are we not allowed to call LeBron James? Is that a demeaning term to LeBron James? Because he, too, is an owner.
Well, LeBron James also owns several businesses. Is he not owner of that also?
Owner. Can't say owner. It's derogatory.
Investor? Is that what it is now?
It's more than an investor. I mean, he owns these businesses. You're just not allowed to call him owner. It's offensive.
So what do we call him, major investor? I don't. What am I going to call him now?
See, that was the great part about that story. I haven't heard the alternative because you're the owner. You own the team. But what are they supposed to call you if they can't call you owner because it's offensive?
Mr. Employer?
Yeah, the employer. That sounds just as bad, but
yeah, that sounds like a bad movie. The employer, you know, like the accountant. I actually like that movie.
Yeah, I could see Kevin James as the employer. All right, continue.
The employer. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what exactly to call them anymore. You know, because they say the word owner's offensive. What did you think of the guy from Golden State sitting courtside, pushing Kyle Lowry? What was he thinking? He was offended. It's amazing that he would even do something like that.
Yeah, I guess maybe because he thinks he is the owner, he thinks he's above rules. It was obviously a really bad look. And my whole thing was, if you're going to lecture Drake about his courtside demeanor, you had to do something with this guy. Did I think that he needed to be banned and all that stuff? I don't know. But yeah, something had to be done. And I think I'm glad that the NBA decided to do something.
You know, when he got the $500,000 fine, I thought before they had, you know, told everybody what the fine was going to be, I thought they were going to fine him like $5 million. I thought they were going to come after him really, really hard. You just can't do something like that. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I thought they were really going to go and hammer him and take some money from him because he's so rich.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just surprised that, you know, barred for a year feels really aggressive. By the way, this is kind of my point on Adam Silver, right? I'm very critical of Adam Silver.
Right.
Because I think he's really good at taking a really hard stance on stuff that doesn't matter and doing stuff that wins him points on social media. Oh, he's so proactive. You can't be that way if you're an owner. Yet no one talks about the fact that the ratings are going down, as we've alluded to. Parity is at an all-time low. Players are switching teams more than ever. Adam Silver is great at you know, really coming down on stuff that doesn't matter, but the things that actually impact the league, he doesn't really do much of it.
Is parity important? You know, you said parity's down. When the NFL didn't have parity, ratings were still up. When the NFL had parity, I think the ratings were still the same or slightly up. So does it really make a difference if there's parity in the NBA or not?
Well, the ratings are down, so I would say that there's something
going
on.
Is it because of parity, though?
Well, I think a lot of the reason ratings are down is because until this series, people thought that, look, the ratings were down across the board coming into the finals except for one series. That was the Rockets-Warriors. And I bring that up because I think most of America thought the Rockets are the only team that has a chance to beat the Warriors. And so that, to me, directly relates to a lack of parity. Whether parity is real or it's in the imagination of fans, I don't think fans thought that anyone other than the Rockets could beat the Warriors, and so there was no reason to watch these playoffs otherwise, and the ratings reflect that.
Get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres. I'm at StinkinGenius1. That's how you jump on in. Kevin Durant, will he make a return before the playoffs or the championship is over? We'll touch on that first. Let's check in with DeSager, see what's trending. What's going on out there, DeSager?
Good evening again, gentlemen. And you mentioned the NBA ratings, and I feel like we have to say every weekend, as you did, Arnie, properly, that Toronto is not a U.S. city, so it's not included in the U.S. ratings. But the overnight ratings for last night's Game 4, the lowest in the last decade for any NBA Finals game.
Wow.
In other words, since Orlando was in the finals in 2009. The game before that, it was about 13 million viewers. Meanwhile, hockey got under 5.5 million for the last game on Thursday. But for hockey, that's great.
I was going to say that's pretty good.
In the last 4 or 5 years, that's one of the top 4 or 5 telecasts that they've had for the Stanley Cup Final, about 5.5 million.
Did you see what tickets are going for the next game? It's crazy for St. Louis.
For St. Louis to clinch, you mean, perhaps.
Yes.
So how much are they?
Is that the $700 or is it going up now?
$700 just to get you in is like $2,300. I think is the cheapest ticket. $2,300. I'm sure that's not the best seat in the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the college baseball you referenced in just a minute. But first off, two games in the majors still going. Max Scherzer threw 7 scoreless innings for the Nationals. 9 strikeouts is now Washington. 4-0 over the Padres in the top of the 9th. Angels lead 10-3 against the Mariners in the top of the 7th inning. The Halos hit 3 straight solo homers in the 4th. Texas swept a doubleheader against Oakland. Boston split a doubleheader against Tampa Bay. The Mets beat Colorado 5-3. And the Dodgers got 4 hits from Corey Seager and 4 RBIs in a 7-2 win at San Francisco. Victories for the Cubs in Milwaukee, wins for Atlanta and Philadelphia. At the Women's World Cup, Germany just a 1-0 win over China. Spain had to come back to beat South Africa 3-1. Spain outshot them 26-4 today, but was still down 1-0 in the second half against a South Africa team that was making its World Cup debut. Spain had 72% of the possession and still had to struggle. Spain scored on a couple penalty kicks second half. And Norway 3-0 over Nigeria. The top-ranked U.S. women open Tuesday on Fox TV. Women's French Open champion Ashley Barty, the Australian, was seeded 8th, now moves up to number 2 in the world rankings after easily beating an unseeded teenager in the final, and Rafael Nadal in the men's final tomorrow morning. Rory McIlroy in a 3-way tie for the golf lead at the Canadian Open after his third round 64. Brent Snedeker is 1 back. He'd shot 60 yesterday. The guy's back in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Aaron, you brought up the Vanderbilt freshman who pitched a no-hitter in the NCAA tournament tonight with, 19 strikeouts. Kumar Rocker, I looked it up. His dad is Tracy Rocker, who was a star defensive lineman for Auburn a few decades ago. So running in the family, athletic talent. So, and by the way, Auburn's still in the NCAA baseball tournament. But that Vanderbilt win means they force a Game 3 of the weekend best of 3 against Duke. The winner tomorrow goes to the College World Series. Louisville's also already advanced to the College World Series.
Yeah, they beat ECU, I believe.
Shut them out. And number 1 UCLA lost at home last night to Michigan and was losing at home tonight to Michigan, but has come back to take the lead, and it's 4-3 Bruins, bottom of the 9th, trying to force a Game 3 there.
Did you guys see how UCLA got their 4th run, by the way?
No, I didn't see it.
I did finally see the replay of a left fielder dropped the ball.
So literally 2 outs, top of the 9th, UCLA, even though the game is in Los Angeles, is the road team. tied 3-3. Popped to left field. The left fielder, who I actually believe is at bat right now, just dropped the ball. And the go-ahead
run,
yeah, just dropped it. It was a routine fly ball, go-ahead run, scored. UCLA holding on to a 4-3 lead here in the bottom of the ninth.
And UCLA playing that at Jackie Robinson Stadium, just across the freeway from campus. Of course, Jackie Robinson, famed UCLA athlete.
I was going to go last night, because I've never been to a college baseball game, and I heard UCLA is really good. And then I found out game four of the finals was on. I said, can't miss the finals for college baseball.
Actually, a producer here last night was thinking the same thing. I should go to UCLA for this. And he looked it up, and the ticket prices for the baseball regionals are the same prices for the NCAA basketball regionals.
Wow.
They were starting at $80.
Wow. Okay. Wouldn't have gone then. If that's the case, would not have gone. Probably would have tried to put in for a credential, but wouldn't have gone.
Wow. All right. Thanks a lot to Sagers. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more in car insurance with Geico. Just go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. And the only hard part, well, that's figuring out which way is easier. By the way, a real quick correction on my part. I was off 1,000. I said 1,700. Excuse me, 2,700 and 1,700.
Actually,
you can get in for $1,646 for game six of the next game in St. Louis. You know, that is a little pricey, but if it's one of your bucket lists and you're a longtime Blues fan, I think I would do that. You know?
That's what I was going to ask. If you had a chance to see Arizona play for a college football national championship, is there a price that, like what is the price where you're just like, I can't do it? Because I feel like you would pay something insane. And if you're a Blues fan in St. Louis, you've been waiting your whole life for this. You can't put a price on being in the building when they potentially clinch a championship.
Arizona was playing Kentucky in the finals in
97.
Indiana. What'd you say?
1997.
Right. And we were living in Chicago. Tickets weren't that expensive because you could put a lot of people in there. But I called my wife up. We did have her catch a flight. I go, you got to come down here. If we're ever going to win this, I want you, you know, with me and watching this, because we both went to Arizona. So she flew down. So that was a little pricey, a last minute airline ticket. So
did you? But you went though.
She came down. We went, and it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. But you know, that's a little bit different than going to a pro game.
No, I don't think it's different at all. And it's funny because
I think it's more emotional for me because I went to Arizona.
100%. And it's funny you say that. So in 2011. With UConn, that was the Kemba Walker team. It was the first time that they made kind of the run. They made the run with Shabazz Napier a few years later, but it was Kemba Walker's team. And it was Jim Calhoun was getting old, and I kind of said, you know, who knows if UConn will ever be back there. At the time, I had never been to a Final Four. They clinched playing for the championship on Saturday night. The game was in Houston. They beat Kentucky. That was the year they played Butler, not the greatest national championship. I bought two plane tickets for a young lady I was dating at the time, not my fiance. Don't tell my fiance. It's cool.
Wow.
We flew down that night, or we flew down the next morning, and I was there for the championship, and I don't regret it at all. Same
best
deal.
Best thing you ever did, huh?
Best thing I ever did. Well, except for, you know, getting married to my fiance. But no, it certainly was the best thing. And that's the thing, right? You and I were both in the building. You can't put a price on that. If you're a St. Louis Blues fan and you're not going to put your family out on the street by doing it, I say go for it, man.
Just go ahead and, you know, give yourself that bucket list. So
that's what I mean.
Yeah. You know, it might be worth it, but it is pricey, no doubt about that. You want to get in. Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. By the way, you've been getting a lot of hate tweets. We got one from Michael that says Fox Sports Radio is unlistenable right now for the next hour and a half. Why do we sink this low? What exactly did we say that we have to sink this low? What did we say that we're so terrible? I don't understand.
I don't know, and I also I like how you pawn that off on me as if he said that just about me, because I think he's talking about both of us. I think we put on the most entertaining show on radio. Yeah. Michael, what happened, buddy?
Can you get a little specific? Can you tell us why we suck? And just saying instead of we suck,
Michael, tell us why we suck. But I think we put on a good show. I just worry. Did Michael have a bad day? Is there something
wrong?
Maybe
he's a little crabby today.
Somebody bully him. Take his lunch money at lunch.
It could have. It very well could have. I just, you know, if you get a little bit more specific, let us know what we did wrong. That's fine. I like that. I appreciate the little constructive criticism.
But it wasn't constructive criticism. It was just bashing us without any...
that's okay, too. What the heck?
Yeah, I just want to know how I can get better. I just want to know what Michael wants us. Does he want more hockey? Does he want more French Open? Just let us know, Mike.
We were getting a lot of people that loved the hockey talk. By the way, Michigan did tie it up against UCLA, in case you're into the College World Series. So it's 4-4 in the bottom of the ninth.
It is.
You're way into that.
Well, I'm just glad the left fielder's off the hook, because I felt really bad. I was telling the guys, Arkansas actually lost the College World Series on a similar deal last year, because the championship is a three-game series, and there were two outs in the ninth. They dropped a foul ball, and the guy ended up getting a hit, the game-winning run. They lost that game, and then they lost the next game. So I was hoping that didn't happen to the Michigan kid that dropped the ball, and it looks like now it's 4-4, and we'll see what happens from here.
I don't know this. I don't know which team it is. That one kid was intentionally walked with the bases loaded.
Not in this game, just in one of the games.
I'm not sure which
it was the Oregon State catcher that was drafted number one.
Oh, is that what it so was?
Yeah, previous
round. What was the score at the time?
I don't remember the score at the time, but it was the whole weekend was at Oregon State. I remember that.
Wow, walking a guy with the base. That's happened to Bonds once, didn't it?
Yeah.
Where did he get drafted to Sager?
The Orioles, I believe.
Oh, that's right, because the Orioles are terrible.
Yes, that's correct.
He could be the best player on the Orioles right now. Speaking about the Sager, the Giants learned the hard way that you should not walk Cody Bellinger. Steve DeSager will explain that. That's coming up next. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
This is one of my favorite shows, favorite songs growing up.
Love it, huh?
I love it.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like the song of your childhood. It's DJ Jazzy Jeff, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's the number one Raptors fan, is it not? Donnie, is it not? Number one Raptors fan?
It is. Mr.
Aubrey, what's his name?
Aubrey, huh?
Aubrey Graham, also known as Drake.
Aaron _ Torres, I'm a stinking genius one. By the way, Jim says, tell your buddy, I guess that's you, that left fielder isn't off the hook unless Michigan wins. If he catches the ball, Michigan would have won the game at the bottom of the ninth instead of it being tied.
Well, he's wrong.
Okay, buddy.
You can't see into the future. There's no guarantee that they would have won.
Tell your buddy.
What do you think about somebody calling Brian No boy earlier, that little boy?
That was great. I love that one also. And somebody rips us for getting on Ben Maller. I'll read that later on.
What? Nobody's ripping Ben Maller.
I know. We'll get to that, but let's check in with DeSager. What's going on, DeSager?
By the way,
Dodgers won, though.
Yo, please don't call them that.
Wow.
On behalf of all of Los Angeles, we know your history. Please do not call them that. Stay away. Our fingers are crossed.
Is your Lakers championship ticket going to cash, by the way, Arnie? I haven't checked up lately.
Wow. I'm going to go to see the couple Dodger games when I come in.
He's waiting for the finals to finish. He's still holding out hope.
No, that's on the Knicks. I'm holding out that they'll still win it.
By the way, UCLA just about gave up a bottom of the ninth homer to lose.
I saw
it. Eliminated.
Yes.
It was a fly out with the left fielder's back to the wall. He made the catch. So they're in the 10th tied with Michigan, FYI. One of the games on Fox TV tonight, Dodgers at San Francisco. You know, Cody Bellinger's batting over 360 this year. So he came up and was intentionally walked three different times by the Giants tonight. All three times, Corey Seager right after him got a hit. Seager wound up with four hits, four RBIs, and is actually the hotter hitter the last three
weeks. Was the bases empty when they walked him or what?
No, not all the time. It was different situations, but Seager came through literally every time. And so Rich Hill went five innings, got the win, and the Dodgers 7-2 winners over San Francisco. You know, former Brady Quinn wide receiver at Notre Dame, Jeff Samardzija, is a Giants pitcher, yet again a... shall we say, bit of advice for kids to play baseball instead of the other sports because it's you get richer and you play longer. But Jeff Samardzija, for example, would be...
Why, Kyler Murray going to say that also or what?
Yeah, how many people are drafted number one NFL?
Well, you just told me that. I'm just giving you the counter.
I'm just saying Jeff Samardzija is not a guy that you would think, boy, there's a millionaire. And yet, look it up. He's more than that.
DeSager, you were criticizing me last week because I didn't know anything about UConn baseball. Fun fact, the only UConn baseball game I went to when I was there, Notre Dame, former Big East rival of UConn's, was visiting, and Jeff Samardzija was pitching.
Really? Oh.
And it was the year after, it was like the spring after the Bush Push game, and Samardzija was an All-American, so we had to go check it out. So that was my only UConn baseball experience. And
And by the way, you mentioned the, you know, paying for the UConn basketball tickets, and Artie, absolutely also. If you're going to spend money on the tickets, if it's a bucket list thing or, you know, family memory, by all means, do that. I mean, I went to, in that same UConn run, I saw Connecticut beat Kawhi Leonard in the Sweet 16.
Anaheim.
And San Diego State, exactly. I know somebody told me they knew a family from 2 years ago when the Dodgers finally made the World Series after almost 30 years. Ugh. They took their family vacation money they had set aside and used it for all four of them to go watch a Dodgers World Series victory, and they had the greatest time. And
I used to
family
go to Dodger
memory.
Playoff games all the time when I was a kid. With Garvey and Lopes and Russell and Say and Ferguson and Yeager and the toy cannon out there and the great pitching staff. I used to go all the time and see those guys.
I bought Dodger playoff tickets in recent years, and it was very easy because either TBS or Fox didn't say what time the game was going to be the next day until literally the night before. And the night before, they said, oh, by the way, Dodgers, you're playing at 12 noon on a weekday. Oh. And so it was not a sellout. So it was pretty easy to get tickets. So just when we get to playoffs, people keep that in mind that sometimes, you know, not everybody can go. Anyway, your Mets got a victory over Colorado 5-3. That was one
we're
of the Fox games tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. But they do have a good rookie, Pete Alonso, with his 21st homer of the year.
Not bad.
His 12th in the seventh inning or later this season. Talk about clutch. Steven Matz got the win, 10 strikeouts in 6 innings. And you were mentioning the Raptors. Did you hear about the McDonald's fries story this weekend?
Yeah, they're getting clobbered on that, huh?
Yeah, the Fox Business had reported, at least quoting Financial Post, that they had a marketing deal going into this NBA season with the region's McDonald's people, with the Raptors, that all season, every time the Raptors made more than 12 three-pointers in a game, you could go to your McDonald's in Ontario, Canada, and get free fries. And they said because the Raptors averaged almost 12 three-pointers a game, so they assumed that they would, in roughly every other game, be giving out free fries. It would be good promotion, and people would buy other things when they're in the restaurant. Well, then they added to their roster, and they're still playing. They're still playing games in June. They're still giving out free fries. They've given out 3 times more fries than they were expecting to.
Now, is that just fries or the whole poutine thing, you know, with the gravy and stuff?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Three
medium fries.
What are you talking about?
McDonald's fries.
That they sell that at McDonald's, too, up there.
In Ontario, Canada.
Yes.
No, this is just, free medium fries.
That's what they do, though. They sell that like that also up there in Ontario.
2 million fries. Free order of fries. One franchise owner in Ontario said, we have to hire more workers when it's free fries days, but it's been good business for us.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You don't know what that is. You better look that up, DeSager.
What's the name?
A poutine. It's like a gravy on top with cheese curds. All right, I got to go. We're coming up in the break. Power Hour next here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, everybody, let's go. It is the power hour of the show as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. What do you have to do? Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. Let me tell you what we got coming up. Coming up at about 20 past the hour, Bernie Fratto stops on by straight out of Vegas. Live from Vegas, we'll give you the latest lines on the NBA championship game for games 5. What happens if it goes 6 and 7? The series odds, all that coming up with Bernie at 45 past the hour. You'll get mine and Aaron's picks on what we think is going to happen for the upcoming week. So that's coming up at about about 45 past the hour. You want to get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One.
Hey,
and Aaron, somebody started a fight with us and Ben Maller.
That's what I was going to say. How did Ben Maller get involved?
I don't know. And somebody said, Stinking Genius, why do you all have to rip graveyard people, and calling Ben Maller the worst is a little overboard? Who said he was the worst? Whoever said that?
I was using an analogy about the LeBron trade situation. Literally, no one called him the worst. No one is asking for his removal. You know, people, they just listen and make I guess this is just the social media era we live in. They hear like 20% of what we talk about and just make up the
And then Ben has to answer back going, Arnie is 80 years old, goes to bed at 6 p.m. His nickname is the Early Bird Special Spaniard. I'm up till 2 in the morning here doing the show, Aaron. I mean, what is he talking about?
That's why they call you the early bird.
You know, he's just mad.
Ooh.
Because when I was working locally in Los Angeles,
okay,
I said if the Lakers won the championship, I would wash everybody's car in Los Angeles. And I said that at the beginning of the year. And sure enough, they had a great year, went through the playoffs, came back against Portland, won the championship. We had cars lined up like 5 miles long.
Wow.
They had to close down part of Ventura Boulevard. The police came, helicopters are flying all above. But the funny part was I had to do the show live from the car wash. So I had Ben and his partner wash and vacuum the cars while I just kind of sat around and didn't do anything, really, to be honest with you.
What year was that?
The year they beat Portland when they were down and came back to beat them. So, gosh,
like
I don't even remember
90s?
Any what years anymore.
The Portland. I don't remember them playing Portland.
That was in the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, that Portland series. Oh,
Portland
yeah. Trouble Portland
Trouble.
Really choked that one away.
So, yeah, and they were up by like 16 points going into the fourth quarter.
The Jailblazers.
And, yeah, it came back. And so that's why Ben is mad. But I don't know what people started to go fights on Twitter between us and Ben Maller.
We have nothing but nice things to say. You never did tell me the Ben Maller hot tub story, you and him hanging out in a hot tub
We've told that story so many times now. People get bored of that.
Listen, you tell all your stories so many times. You know how many times I've heard about your non-trip to Micronesia?
I was best friends
with Jeannie Buss and Steve Kirk calls me. I've heard all your stories a million times, yet this one you refuse to tell.
You're just talking about the time that Ben Maller and I and another worker were in a hot tub with four girls that were topless. Is that what you're talking about, that story?
Maybe. I don't know. You won't tell me any details. I guess. That sounds like the kind of details I'm
going to save that for the fourth hour.
Okay, good. Yeah, with Bernie Fratto, you're just going to
save that for next hour. So that's coming up at the top of next hour.
It must
hour.
Not have ended well
stick
for you.
Stick around for that. Wow!
Yeah, I mean, none of these stories probably do, but I just feel like if the story had a good ending, a happy ending, if you will, kind of a ode to Robert Kraft, then
well,
I think...
first of all, I'm married, but I have no mistake about it. If anybody was going to pick up any girls, it was going
to be
Ben
Maller. Yes.
Ben Maller.
No, it was
going to
be Ben. It was going to be
I
Ben.
Mean, wait,
okay.
Would you look at him? This was pre-skinny Ben. Okay.
See, now you're insulting him.
I'm giving him a compliment.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I don't think you were picking up anybody with the ponytail, except maybe the cops were trailing you every
and
time.
And a mustache, too. You keep forgetting about the mustache.
I know every time that you came within 500 feet of a school, there was an alarm that went off with that with that ponytail. But
Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinking Genius One. Before we get back into the NBA Finals and what we think is going to happen, speak up now or forever hold your peace. You know, we had John Paul Morosi on talking about the NHL. I'm just going to ask you because a lot of criticism about what's going on with the officiating in the NHL. We complain about the officiating in the NHL now, the NBA, the NFL, even, of course, Major League Baseball. Are we just overly sensitive or are all these sports doing a bad job in hiring refs/officials?
I mean, they can't all be doing a bad job, right? So,
or is the game just too fast? You know, these athletes are just so faster and stronger than it used to be. Maybe it's just too tough for these officials that are like over 50 or 60 years old to keep up with these guys.
I think that we just have a platform to share our opinions. And it used to be, and you can attest to this because, you know, you've been in the business for a while. It used to be the local radio host, maybe a couple of national radio hosts. Now, literally anybody that has a social media feed on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, can share their opinion on stuff.
So you're just saying we notice it more now because
of social
media?
I just think that it becomes more of a topic. because no matter what the call is, there's going to be people mad because one team gets screwed and one team doesn't. And so, like, I think that the big controversies, like the Saints-Rams, that's always going to be a talking point. But, like, I don't know that all these little mini controversies, I'm trying to think of one, that, you know, because of social media, like, I don't know, there was a couple in the NCAA tournament this year that I don't think were that big of a deal, but because of social media, because fans can kind of congregate in one place, I think they became bigger deals. I think we see that across sports.
Yeah, but it's always been like this, though. You're right, we just bring it more to the forefront. But we've always had problems with referees, officials, and that much. I'm just wondering, you know, people say, well, we should make the NFL officials full-time. Well, actually, some of them are full-time now. I just think that a lot of them do a bad, bad job. They don't keep up on it. I don't think it's that tough of a job to do. And I think the ones that are in it, 90% of them do a bad job at it.
90%?
Yeah, 90%.
That's absurd. I don't even think you know what
you're
saying.
I'll tell you why. Because the NFL says that they get like 98% of the calls correct. Am I right? So when you're a official and you make one or two mistakes, you're below par. You're way below par when you make a couple of mistakes like that. And they're making more than one or two mistakes.
How many like huge like officiating controversies are there a year?
You know, we were talking about this on my local show. When's the last time you remember a controversy involving the refs or the officials that still stick out to this day? Yes, there's been a bad call. Remember the Royals and the Cardinals in the World Series. Don Dechinger, I think is the name. The Sega remembers him better than I do, but made the bad call. And, of course, the most egregious one, Aaron, was the 1972 Olympics when the men's basketball team, when Russia got to inbound the ball three different times until they made a layup and won the game. They inbounded the ball, we knocked it away, and the official said the clock didn't start. So they got to inbound the ball again, and we knocked it away, and the officials came up with another bogus reason. So they got to inbound the ball again. This time they caught it, made a layup, and that one was good. So there you go. That's the only one I really remember to this day that still bothers me.
As far as an officiating call?
Yeah, a bad officiating call. So that still sticks to me. And, so, of course, you have the Tuck rule, too.
And you just told me that 90% of the calls are wrong, and now you're telling me there's one in the history of sports that has you upset.
Maybe
you
I said 90% of the officials are bad.
Oh, that is different. I thought
did I say it wrong? I'm sorry if I said it wrong. I said 90% of the officials are bad because the NFL says they get 98% of the calls correct.
Okay.
Which I don't buy, but go ahead.
No, I just need to clarify something because we just got a tweet from Chetan who says, please tell Aaron about the time you told new Lakers coach Rudy Tomjanovich that he could take a punch. One of the most uncomfortable radio moments ever. You never shared that story with me.
Yeah, that wasn't one of my prouder moments.
Yeah, I mean, for people who don't know, Rudy Tomjanovich, his career basically ended because of that, right?
He got punched by, was it Kermit Washington?
I believe so, yep.
Yeah, and he had major damage done to him. And years later, he came on my show when I was working in Los Angeles, and we had a good time. We're going back and forth. We're having a blast. I said, Rudy, let it be said that, you know, let it be known that you could certainly take a punch.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, but I was just joking at the time.
And he didn't take kindly to the joke.
He didn't really say anything.
He just hung up, and I've never heard
from him
since.
He just hung up on me, but, you know, it didn't work that time.
Who are you more likely?
Not every joke works.
Who are you more likely to call from before the end of this show, Steve Kerr or Rudy Tomjanovich?
Probably our boss, Scott Shapiro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You could get one of those calls at any moment.
Make no mistake about it. If Golden State doesn't win the championship, I won't be hearing from my best friend Steve Kerr from high school and college.
Well, I think you need to. You know, you've been very bold in your predictions. And back to this finals, you have said that the Warriors will win the next three games. I think you should put your job on the line. If the Warriors lose, if they don't win in seven, I think you have to quit. I think that seems reasonable.
Wow. So from now on, everybody that gets a prediction wrong at Fox Sports Radio should have to quit.
No, I just think if you're going to make a bold prediction like that and you're talking a big talk, we got to have a little stakes on this, right?
Losers got to leave town.
Literally, yeah. Well, you already kind of left town, and no one knows where you are.
If you lose, you got to move to Vermont, and if I win, I get to move back to Los Angeles. Is that the way it works out there?
Well, nobody wants you to move to Los Angeles. I think you got to quit the show.
And people don't understand the reason I'm not in Los Angeles anymore is because Fox Sports said, it's okay, you don't have to live here. We want you to live. I go, where, Arizona? No, that's too close. Texas? No, we're thinking more like Vermont. We really need you to cover in case the Expos come back to Montreal. We need you up there.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, no, that's good.
I'm on the... I'm the first on the beat when the Expos come back. You know that, don't you?
Listen, you are the Montreal Alouettes go-to guy. I mean, you
look at you.
You can say something that a lot of radio hosts in America can't. That's that you had Johnny Manziel on your show. So.
Well, funny, we were going to go up and see a Montreal game when he was playing up there. We said, hey, let's go see Johnny Manziel play, you know?
And then he left. Like, by the way, I saw him today. He said something to the effect of, yeah, no, I don't think my football career is over. I'm excited for the next step. It's like...
He wants to play for that Houston team in the XFL.
Dude, he's gotten thrown out of the NFL. He left
AAFL or whatever that thing was called, AAF.
Well, he left Canada under very mysterious circumstances,
yes.
Got to the AAF. That league folded. That guy's a cat running out of lives is all I'll say.
Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. You see, they automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000 miles. Discover It Miles. Limitations do apply. Discover Match are for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Bernie Fratto, straight out of Vegas. Coming up next, we'll talk to Bernie. Love going to Vegas. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Marty Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know every windshield collision has a unique sound. Beetle, bird poop, drone. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
By the way, what the hell happened in the UCLA Michigan game?
I don't know. I was
big confusion.
I don't know. I wasn't.
The whole thing is crazy out there.
It's insanity. This college baseball World Series is... It's not even the World Series yet. They call them the Super Regionals, Arnie. I don't know if you knew that.
The kid who was on third base just royally screwed up. Just absolutely royally just screwed up the thing. So... we'll see what they call it, but it looks like there's going to be a double play. We're waiting for Bernie Fratto to join us from straight out of Vegas. Kind of get the odds, the sights, the sounds, which way the money's coming in on. I'm wondering how many people at Toronto at the beginning of this and how much, what kind of odds they got. You know what I mean, Aaron?
Yeah, I think Bernie is ready, so let's see if
all
we can grab him.
Let's go to him. Joining us now, he comes on after us at the top of the hour, straight out of Vegas with Bernie Fratto. How you doing tonight, Bernie?
Doing great, guys. It's really hard to imagine that just a few days ago, that when the Raptors were down 2-0 to the Milwaukee Bucks, you could have got the Raptors plus 700 just to win that series, and now they're minus 700 to win the whole darn thing.
Wow.
And if this is any indication, in Game 5, 84% of the cash is on the Raptors, 67% of the tickets is on the Raptors, and 90% is on the over.
Bernie, let me start with this. Was there a lot of people that bet the Raptors before the start of the series? Are they going to make a fortune here? Are the books going to get clobbered, or there was not enough action on the Raptors?
Well, there wasn't a lot of action on the Raptors. There really wasn't. But I would say this, that there was a ton of action on the Warriors the other night. And so the books, made out like a bandit. 62% was on the Warriors. 76% was on the over. It went way under. 63% of the money. And a lot of syndicate money came in, which drove the line to 5. And so here we are, guys. I mean, you got a situation where can Steve Kerr win 3 in a row? And the reason I don't think so is because, you know, it's dial a lineup. They're in their 10th lineup in this entire playoff series, which is the most since 1971. And everybody knew, you know, that KD was probably not going to play. Iguodala's been banged up, and you had the Clay injury. But I'll tell you what I think turned the series really on its ear, and that's when Kevon Looney got hurt. And you saw what happened in Game 3. The Warriors' defense was anemic because Looney's an excellent rim protector, 7'4" wingspan, great low post defender. He's the only big guy agile enough to rotate off the pick and roll, and that's what happened in Game 3. No one on Golden State rolled to the ball off the pick and roll, And Toronto constantly had a layup line. You saw it. And I mean, it was terrible. They were beaten on back cuts. So here's some numbers you can hang your hat on.
Right.
The Warriors, believe it or not, guys, if you're feeling saucy, you get them plus 500.
Wow.
They've actually, in the Steve Kerr era, in the playoffs alone, won three straight games 17 times. And they're also 5-1 in elimination games.
Wow.
But here's all you need to know. Kawhi is now minus 650 to win the MVP. Steph Curry is plus 525, and after that, they're all astronomical numbers. So
yeah.
It's pretty tough to imagine Golden State coming back, given the composition of their lineup and the fact that even if Looney plays, he's about 40%.
So, Bernie, you just referenced last night, I think it was the game that you were referencing as far as being the Warriors a comfortable, whatever, 5, 5.5, 6-point favorite. And when I saw that line, I was kind of blown away because I'm watching this series and I'm like, the Raptors are just a better team than the Warriors. So when that line came out, and I don't know what the line is for tomorrow, but is that a reflection of the public just thinking that because they're the Warriors, they're going to flip a switch? Or did Vegas think that there was something that was going to be different in last night's game? Because I saw that number and I just said, I've seen nothing in this series that makes me feel like the Warriors should be that comfortable of a favorite.
Well, you're spot on. Again, let's go back to the eyeball test we talked about a week ago, Aaron. You alluded to Toronto after game one looking more athletic, fresher, better length, more active, and you're right. But bets are a lot of times, wagers are based largely on numbers and statistical analysis. So it wasn't just the public Friday night. It was the pros. And there was so much data really backing the Warriors. Kerr, after a playoff loss, they're 5-2 with an 81-point differential, average margin of victory of 18 points. When Klay Thompson returns after an injury in his career, they're 11-3. They win 80% of their games with Klay Thompson in the lineup. They're only 11-13 without them. The Warriors were 76% against the spread, following a double-digit loss. And in the Steve Kerr era, whenever the Warriors had given up more than 120 points in the game before, they won and covered 81% of the time. So there it is. They lost by 14, 123, 109. Klay came back. Everything was lined up, including the fact that the Raptors were 34-37 against the spread after a win. So when you align all the data, the fact that Klay was coming back, and then Kevon Looney was announced to be active, the numbers took you to the Warriors. Having said that, the Raptors look to be the better team.
Bernie, a couple things. First of all, what can I get on the Warriors to win the next three games in a row and win the series? And is it going to be a little bit lower than any other team that would be normally down 3-1?
Yeah, certainly, because they're the Warriors. And you'd be plus 500, Arnie. If you want to get on the Warriors, if you want to get out for game five, yeah, they're plus 500 to still win the series. Toronto's minus 700, which basically means it's about an 86% probability that Toronto is going to win this thing.
Wow.
And I got to
wow.
tell you, when the Warriors were down 2-1, I was not, thinking that the Warrior fans should be that worried because in the 2016 conference finals against OKC, the Warriors were down 2-1. They won in 7. In the 2015 NBA finals against Cleveland, they were down 2-1. They won in 6. In the 2015 conference semis against the Pelicans, they were down 2-1. They won in 6. It wasn't like they were on uncharted territory. The big thing here is, guys, again, their 10th different lineup since the beginning of the playoffs. They haven't been able to get any continuity. And by the way, let's give some serious credit to the Raptors. Pascal Siakam has completely played that knucklehead Draymond Green, who's become a turnover machine, and his maturity tour lasted about 15 minutes. He got teed up again the other night. So I think you've got a transcendent player in Kawhi Leonard. I think you've got a team whose time has come, and they're superbly coached by Nick Nurse. It's the perfect storm. And again, and by the way, I do not believe in asterisks. If you win the championship,
thank you.
You win the championship. However, I don't know what this series would look like had Golden State had right. everybody there.
Well, Bernie, just one more thing. What about the props? I know that a lot of people were on the over Klay Thompson points scored, and they cashed out, at halftime or something?
Ton, yeah. Klay had 28 points, and the over-under was 17.5. Kerr was 32.5. That went under. Kawhi was 30.5. That obviously went over. So the props continue to be good business. Although, I think, Aaron, you said earlier in the show, although Clay got his points, clearly his lateral movement and his first-step explosion isn't the same. And he's a very underrated defender.
Yes.
And he's not the same defensively. So although he's able to play, he's not the same defensively. And that matters. Toronto's elite defense is what's winning this series.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about, because you just referenced it a minute ago. I'm a believer. And you can take this from a gambling perspective, from your eye test, from your basketball fandom. I don't think Kevin Durant is the difference in this series. And I'm getting crushed on social media the last 2 days.
And deservingly so.
Because I said after the Western Conference Finals, I said, I think that they play better collectively as a team without him. Whatever. My point is this, is you said, you referenced a minute ago, it's hard to know if they were fully healthy, but I think the thing that you said, Kevon Looney being banged up, Klay Thompson not at 100%, take this wherever you want, Bernie, but I think those are bigger factors than not having Kevin Durant, as in, I feel like if Kevon Looney was close to 100%, Klay Thompson close to 100%, Andre Iguodala, DeMarcus Cousins, I feel like this would just be a completely different series, even without KD.
I'm in agreement, because those injuries have had a cumulative effect. When you don't have an Andre Iguodala who's 100%, you don't have a DeMarcus Cousins who's 100%, you don't have Kevon Looney 100%, in fact, he missed Game 3, all of those become a larger narrative than being without Durant. And gosh, remember that stat we got thrown in our face? They're 32-4 without Durant on the floor.
Yeah.
Well, they're 1-3 in their last four. Without Durant. And I think you have to attribute that a lot to the fact that these other role players for the Warriors are not only banged up, they're not performing well. Toronto, listen, I really give Toronto a lot of credit. When they came out in the second half last night, they meant business. They were only 2 of 18 in the first half from behind the arc. They missed 13 uncontested threes. They had wide open shots.
Yeah.
They come out in the second half, they were 8 of 14 from three-point land. Meanwhile, they contested Golden State. Golden State only 8 of 27 from behind the three-point line for the game. There's your difference.
Bernie, last thing before we let you go, and I know you're coming up at the top of the hour. Who's the St. Louis Blues fan that has a $200 ticket at plus 2,500, could win $50,000 and turn down $35,000 for the ticket?
He's an unknown guy who was here in a convention in January before St. Louis had their miracle winning streak.
Yeah.
And he was at a convention, so didn't get a chance to go to the tables the whole time. So as he was leaving town, he said, how much would I have lost if I'd have been here betting blackjack? He said, I figure 400. So he put 400 on the Blues at 250-1. They go on a 12-game winning streak. They bring up Jordan Binnington, four-string goalie. They hire Craig Berube. The rest is history. The guy is sticking to his guns. He's not going to hedge. Although, Arnie, I think it's going to be a wicked pisser. I think Boston's sending it back for 7. And right now, by the way, St. Louis is minus 260, guys, tomorrow.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to see what happens. We'll see if the guy wins. Bernie, always a pleasure. We're looking forward to listening to you at the top of the hour.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Bernie Fratto, everybody, from Straight Out of Vegas. All right, last time we check in with our buddy Steve DeSager to see what's trending, what's going on, DeSager.
That crazy game with number one UCLA still going in the NCAA baseball
Why did
tournament.
The guy on third base get off the base when they said he didn't catch it? He didn't have to get off the base.
That's right. UCLA Michigan tied 4-4 in the 11th. Bases loaded Bruins. Line drive to the third baseman. He didn't catch it on a line drive. I guess the runner at third thought he did and left the bag. Got tagged by the third baseman, who then tagged the runner coming to third.
Yep.
He got a double play without ever throwing the ball.
Yep.
And then the Bruins reloaded the bases.
Or catching it, yeah.
Well, he did make the catch. He kind of short-hopped the line drive into his
glove. Right, but he didn't catch it, yeah.
With bases loaded and two outs in the 11th, UCLA had a 3-0 count on the batter, a chance to take the lead, and two borderline strike balls.
I saw that. That was ridiculous.
Wow. And then a ground out. So it's Michigan batting 4-4 in the 11th. If the Wolverines win, number one UCLA is out of the NCAA tournament, and Michigan, I believe Derek Jeter's alma mater, would be going to the College World Series. You know, Arnie, it was just about a week ago was the 10-year anniversary of a long game when Chris Plank was hosting late Saturday nights on Fox Sports Radio.
Yep.
And the Texas Longhorns played a 25-inning game.
What?
They won against Boston College in a regional. I remember because Plank Show didn't start till 11 o'clock Pacific time, and the game kept going.
Wow.
And Brandon Belt was on that team and then made it to the major leagues with the Giants, who he still plays for. And 5 years later, Brandon Belt, in a playoff game for San Francisco, got the game winner in the 18th inning in the major leagues. It's just craziness.
Love those long games.
Mm-hmm. The Angels got the late game win in the majors tonight in Anaheim, 12-3 over Seattle. And how about this? Shohei Ohtani of the Halos had three hits, including a home run against Seattle starting pitcher Yusei Kikuchi. They went to the same high school in Japan.
Wow.
Not the same age, but they faced each other a few times in the pros over there. And now Kikuchi is first year with the Mariners. They face each other in Anaheim. Angels win 12-3. Ohtani had one of the three straight solo homers off the loser in the bottom of the fourth. Mike Trout hit his 17th of the year. Max Scherzer in Washington, a 4-1 winner at San Diego. Scherzer's record only 4-5 because he plays for the Nationals, and they have the worst bullpen in the major leagues. Texas retired Adrian Beltre's number tonight and had a doubleheader sweep of Oakland. Boston split a twin bill against Tampa Bay. Cleveland beat the Yankees in CC Sabathia 8-4. By the way, Yankee pitcher Masahiro Tanaka is going to start Monday instead of tomorrow after the birth of his second child. Yankees are slumping. They've lost 5 of 6 this past week. Cubs and John Lester were down 4-0 in the first inning and still beat the Cardinals 9-4. In fact, the Card staff tonight, in only 8 innings, needed 192 pitches to finish this game. Milwaukee over Pittsburgh 5-3. Zach Davies now 7-0 for the Brewers. Mets beat Colorado 5-3, and the Dodgers won 7-2 at San Francisco. Corey Seager, 4 hits and 4 RBIs. That UCLA-Michigan game going to the 12th now, by the way. Women's World Cup wins for Spain, Norway, and Germany. Number one ranked U.S. women open Tuesday on Fox TV. Women's French Open champion Ashley Barty, and early morning Pacific time, Rafael Nadal in action in Paris. Men's final against number 4 Dominique Thiem. Joey Logano earned the NASCAR pole for tomorrow's 400 at Michigan, 2 p.m. Eastern on FS1. The guy's back in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
So, Arnie, before you were talking that your son is going to Paris, and should he take in a game.
What do you think?
I looked it up. Actually, one of the U.S. games is in Paris next weekend.
That's when he's going to be there.
That is the good news, but the bad news would be the U.S. fans, more than any other foreign country, have bought up these tickets in droves. So,
get out of here. How much is a ticket?
Well, it's a World Cup ticket. It's not going to be cheap, I'm sure. And in fact, for the U.S. game, instead of a 25,000-seat soccer stadium, that's a 45,000-seat stadium in Paris. They were saying that 15 to 20 games are already sold out in the tournament in advance of the month-long tourney. And, of course, it was this same place in Paris that got
sold out. Sure, he's got my credit card. I'm sure money's no object for him.
Yeah, you're never going to see him again.
Yeah, money's no object. He'll just go ahead and put it on the credit card.
It's not for him.
Yeah, he's not paying $40.
How much
care.
Is a Gucci shirt? $600?
$300 for the Gucci T-shirt.
That's when you disown him. That's when you say.
Exactly.
That's when you call the bank and report fraud, and you get a new card, and you don't tell him.
All right. Thanks a lot, the Sagers. Mm-hmm. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more in car insurance with Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. And the only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Real quick, before we get back into the NBA championship, something that happened this week I didn't have a chance to even text you about or send you a message about. The college line, the three-point line, get to move back to what, 22 feet, right? So about another foot plus some. Is that going to be a major problem? Is that going to change the game in college or what?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw a lot of people respond.
And starting next year, too.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people respond. I think John Calipari is kind of in line with me. He said, we'll figure it out. We'll see the impact when the games start. The thing that I've said is that I feel like college basketball takes such a bad rap, but one of the things that I do think is legitimate is these college players, they leave college early because they don't feel like the college game adequately prepares them for the NBA because so many of the rules are so different.
I thought you were going to tell me they maybe have a source a false sense of security because they hit so many threes in college, you think they could do it in the NBA.
Well, that could be, but I just think that, listen, the college game is the college game, the NBA game is the NBA game, but I do think that if you watch the sports, and I know you do, Arnie, we all do, they're like two completely different sports because the three-point line is so close in college, or at least it was, that I feel like this will be better. It will make the college game more like the NBA game, and so I think anything that's going to make college a little bit more like the NBA, where the players feel like I'm being prepared on the court for my future, I think that's a good thing.
Well, let me give you the anti to that then.
Okay, go ahead.
We're sitting here, you were talking about the College World Series. They use aluminum bats. That no way gets you ready for Major League Baseball when you're using aluminum bats, does it?
Yeah, and I would say I don't know college baseball as well as college basketball, but I do think...
It's mostly for the cost, because it would cost so much for these colleges to use wooden bats. They would break them all the time, but...
Yeah, 100%. And with basketball, the reason I bring all this up is because in basketball, it's been a big talking point kind of in the college basketball world the last few weeks, but there were 87 underclassmen, so non-seniors, who declared for the draft and stayed in the draft. And for people who don't know the math, there's only two rounds in the NBA draft,
right,
60
right.
picks.
Used to be like 8 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, but if you take out, you know, a couple seniors are going to get drafted, a couple international players, you could have 30, 40 undrafted players who could have returned to college basketball.
Which is why I think they should be allowed to go if they don't get drafted. They should allowed to go back to school.
Well, some of them are. There's a new rule that if you were invited to the combine, you can go back. So anyway, the point is that, yeah, I think anything that is going to make the players feel like the college game is preparing them for the NBA is good. So that's why I'm in favor of moving back 3-point line.
And as just one last thing on that, will there be more scoring, or will there just be more inside play and open up the game more?
Well, I think there will be more spacing, hopefully more, you know, ball movement and some of the stuff that we see in the NBA, where there's just, you know, you can get, you know, you watch college and it just feels like it's so jam packed in the paint. I don't know if it'll lead to more scoring, but I think it'll lead to more quote-unquote kind of fluid offense, if that makes sense.
All right. Aaron _ Torres, I'm at Stinkin' Genius 1. I guess people are saying that Kevin Durant's first time on the court didn't go too well. Do you expect him to come back in this series, or is it just too much to risk? And if you're Kevin Durant, you got to say, I just can't do it.
I'll tell you what I said a week ago when we started arguing for an hour is... I think if he's healthy enough to come back, he'll come back. But I think what's realistic about this...
Well, what's healthy? Does he even... Wait a minute. Suppose he's not healthy enough, but he still wants to come back.
Willis Reed or something like that. If he feels like he's healthy enough to play and contribute and help the team, I think he's going to. I would ask you, though. I was thinking about this today, because you were of the belief at the beginning of this series that maybe he doesn't rush back just to show Golden State how important he is to this team. It's kind of good for the Kevin Durant brand if Golden State doesn't win this series with him, right?
But only if he wants to stay, no? Or if he wants to go, it won't change his brand.
Yeah, but I just think that I think regardless it helps his brand, but certainly if he wants to stay, look, he's going to get the most money. He's going to get the maximum amount of money, whether he signs a 1-year contract, a 5-year contract, whatever, wherever he goes. But I also, like, I do think it creates like a weird sort of leverage, isn't really the right word, because he's going to get the most money anyway,
right.
But kind of you know, something to hold over the team or whatever, because we just talked about it with Bernie. They're a completely different team without him. Draymond looks lost. A bunch of guys are banged up, etc.
So if he was really going to the Knicks, let's say a month ago, like everybody was reporting, or 2 months ago, like everybody thought he was going to do, what changed for him to stay for the Warriors? The fact that they're down 3-1 and they could lose 4-1 is going to make him change his mind and stay with the Warriors?
Well, it's funny because we were talking about this going into the finals, right? Is that he was in a no-win situation. The Warriors swept the Portland Trail Blazers without him, and it looked very clear that they didn't need him. Now it feels like they do need him. And so what may have changed is just the fact that maybe he wanted to stay, but he felt like he'd never get the credit he deserved if he stayed. Well, now we see them without him, although I would argue again that it's a lot of the other injuries, not just him. But we see him without him, and they are definitely a different team.
Speak up now or forever hold your peace. Final predictions, final thoughts, our picks, all that's coming up next. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
At Farmers Insurance, we know the sound of a perfect hot air balloon landing. And a less than perfect one. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. You see, they automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become, let's say, 70,000 miles. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. By the way, UCLA has taken a 5-4 lead over Michigan, still at the top of the 12th, and one out with a runner on third. So that one's going to continue. Give us a little music. Put us in the mood. Let's get to our predictions. Let's start NBA championship with game number 5. Raptors, a 3-point favorite over the Warriors. Not only am I taking the Warriors plus the 3, I'm taking the Warriors. Don't want the 3, don't need the 3. I'll take the 3. I think the Warriors, with the extra day's rest, that's going to help Steph. That's going to help Klay. That's even going to help Draymond. I believe their best effort is going to be in this game. I like the Warriors over the Raptors in game number 5.
I will tell you this, Arnie, I don't disagree with you, and I disagree with you often, but not on this. The Warriors, as we've discussed this entire show, their dynasty is on the brink, they're banged up. I don't know that they have enough to win 3 straight, but I think everything that they have in the tank, they put out there on Monday night. I believe they win game 5. Advance to game 6, keep their season alive for one more game.
Then let's get to game 6. We're both in agreement. Golden State going to be at home. And hey, there's no way you win in Toronto and go back to game 6 and lose at home. That's just not going to happen. The fans will go ahead and energize them. They'll have the extra day rest again. I like the Warriors to win game 6 and even a series of 3 games apiece.
Well, I know you do, and you're a knucklehead. So
wow.
I believe that game 6 is where it ends. I know it's kind of...
On the road?
That's what I was just going to say. The Warriors have not been great at home during these playoffs. They obviously lost the last 2 at Oracle Arena. They lost 2 to the Clippers in round 1. I believe that the Golden State Warriors will lose the NBA Finals, close out Oracle Arena. The Raptors close out the O.co with a win and a championship.
Wow. Game well, 6. Well, I'm the only one going with the Game 7 and the Game 7 in Toronto. Once Toronto loses 2 in a row and it's 3 games apiece, they're going to start doubting themselves. That's when Golden State's at their best. Golden State pulls off the sweep, gets the 3 in a row, wins it, 4-3 over Toronto.
Okay, in an upset, since there is going to be no Game 7, instead there will be a parade across Toronto.
Oh, is there?
And at that point, Kawhi Leonard speaks for the first time. The fans screaming, one more year, one more year. Kawhi takes the mic. He's never spoken before. Nobody even knows what his voice sounds like.
He says, I'm going to L.A.
And he says, man, I can't wait to repeat next year at the parade. No Game 7. Announces he's coming back. The crowd goes wild. He's named not president of Canada because they don't have one, but he is named to a high parliament position as he announces that he's coming back to be a Toronto Raptor. He signs a lifetime contract like
John
Calipari.
You know, I'm going to pick, I'm going to say that Kawhi ends up staying in Toronto also, which means he'll end up staying and Paul George ends up staying. It's kind of interesting when they pulled the trade off. I didn't think either one was going to stay. By the way, I'm taking the Bruins to go ahead and beat the Blues in Game 6 and win it in Game 7 to get their Stanley Cup. How about that?
I like the Blues at home. I like that one guy that they have that's really good to score some goals. And I like the Blues to close out the Stanley Cup.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Thanks to the crew. Of course, Laker Don doing a great job. Ryan, our producer. Thanks to DeSager on all the updates. Coming up next, straight out of Vegas with our buddy Bernie Fratto. He'll give you the Vegas perspective and which way the money's coming in on game number five. Certainly going to be a lot. It could be a game clincher. For Torres, I'm Arnie Spanier. Bernie, coming up next, right here on Fox Sports Radio.